Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Kitchen Politics 123 Radio Show. We thank you for joining us. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico.
Hello, everyone. This is Lori Picka from Michigan, and I'd like to wish everyone a Happy New Year. And the focus of this year will be to elect Joe Biden and Kamala Harris to be our president for a second term.
Indeed. Welcome to the Big Show, and happy 2024, America. So we're at a stone's throw away from New Hampshire primary and Iowa caucus. Politics will be in full swing across America as candidates from all levels duke it out for a place at the table. A colossal 44% of the electorate is either registered as an independent or no party affiliation, NPA for short, along with millennials, Generation X, Y, and Z. They have the power. It lies with them. With these voting blocks of diverse voters, will Republicans see their demise after decades of ruining America with their lack of empathy and loathing for the common person? Will Democrats win big in 2024? How big? Will a third-party candidate or any of the third-party candidates have an impact? Will Russia and or China meddle in American politics again in the foreshadow? How close is America to losing her democracy? We're going to talk about all that and also the Iowa school shooting this morning. And we're going to talk about the Epstein list, who's on it, the big names, and more to come. Welcome to the mayhem and excitement of the election cycle 2024. It's Thursday, January 4th, 2024. Call in 515-605-9802. Say your first name and where you're calling from. Do not speak over the horse or your call will be terminated immediately. Thanks for sharing across all social media by word of mouth. Your patronage is much appreciated as we expand and grow. Share our website, www.kitchenpolitics123.com, where merchandise will be soon on sale, different blog articles and cooking recipes. You could share them. You could even try, using the cooking recipes and, try making them yourself. More cooking recipes to come. And remember to smash that like and follow button so you can listen live and call in possibly. Don't be shy. Don't be scared. Everybody is welcome. Democrat, Republican, Independent, no party affiliation, socialist, communist, whomever. Glad you shared our broadcast and you're on board tonight. We're not anti-social, just anti-stupid. Let's get cooking. So, Lori, where should we start first?
Well, we should start with, the first day back from Christmas break. And, of course, there's a shooting. And it happened in Iowa, small town. The name of the Perry High School. The shooter, who was 17 years old, died from a self-inflicted gun wound. There was one, so he was killed. And then he killed himself, and then five injured. But they haven't said how they're doing. I haven't heard that. So hopefully they'll all be okay. You know, this is just another day in America. You know, he had a shotgun and he had a pistol as well. They didn't say where he did get that, the shotgun and the pistol. They didn't say yet. But he was only 17, so so I don't think he could have bought it on his own. So that'll be interesting to find out, you know, where he did get the rifle and the, oh my goodness, and the adult.
The ammunition.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
And, so suspected, you know, shoot was a student at this high school. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say that the boy that died was only in sixth grade. I mean, that within itself is horrific. So I guess five injured, the shooter killed himself, and then the six-year-old died. So that's how it went. It's just so sad, you know, and they have to do something in 24. I just don't know if anything will get done, be done. So go ahead, David.
Yes. Yes, ma'am. So the suspected shooter was a student at this high school. And like you said, he self-inflicted gunshot wound to the head. This was according to Mitch Mortsved. He's an assistant director of the Iowa Department of Public Safety, Division of Criminal Investigation. And the Perry High School principal, Dan Marburger, was also among those shot. One victim was in critical condition while the other four were stable. The active shooting incident was reported at approximately 7:37 a.m. And according to Medved, quote, police officers responded within minutes. They immediately made entry and witnessed students and faculty either sheltering in place or running from the school. So the 17-year-old who did the shooting was Dylan Butler, and he had a pump-action shotgun and a small small caliber handgun, you know. And he had a rudimentary explosive device. It was located in the school and rendered safe. The bomb squad, you know, checked it out and it was okay. The shooting occurred before the school day had started, and there was very few students and faculty in the building. So, you know, I think this contributed to a good outcome in that sense, because imagine if it was in full swing and students were walking around and what have you, more people could have died. So there's no further danger, thank goodness, and the community is safe because, as I said, the guy killed himself. And, you know, why did this happen? You know, how did he get the gun, like you asked? You know, so, you know, like, I don't mean to, I hate saying this, thoughts and prayers to the people who got injured and the one boy who got killed. But enough of the you know, thoughts and prayers. Time for something to be done. We need red flag laws. You know, we need common sense gun control. That's what America needs right now. Because it's nonsense where every other day is just another school shooting. That's a regular Thursday. Nothing to see here, folks. You know, it's just sickening and disgusting. And Republicans doing nothing to stop this gun violence.
No, they don't want to do anything. You know, that's the sad part about it. They don't want to do anything about it. You know, they're beholden to the NRA and, you know, all the money that they get. So that part, it's just sad because, you know, you don't want to say thoughts, but you do want the families to feel at peace, but they'll never feel at peace. They'll be scared. You know, the kids go to school, they're traumatized. So how do we get past this? And then the next thing that they'll say is that, you know, he had mental illness or he had, you know, something like that. He had, you know, depression. But, you know, I understand that part of it, but what I don't understand it is that they know that this, if it comes to that for him, I don't know. But I'm just saying in general, a lot of times, you hear, you know, oh, they had, you know, a mental condition or they were depressed. They were, you know, this and that. Well, if someone knows that you're depressed, if someone knows that you have a mental condition, then, you know, they should watch out for them a little bit closer maybe, or, you know, report them somewhere where they can, it can be documented. I don't know, but there has to be a way to end this somehow. Because it's sad, it's horrible. This generation is going to be constantly looking around for someone shooting at them, no matter where they are.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't blame them. It's terrific. It really is.
Yes. Democrats proposed last year that the age for consent to have a firearm is 21 years or older. This
mm-hmm.
thing where, you know, from a kid, like 10, 11, 12 years old, you have those buckshot guns where you used to hunt and everything.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's great that, yeah, you're
mm-hmm.
teaching a kid how to shoot and everything. But why would a child need a gun?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, yeah, the Second Amendment is there, yes. But does a child know the difference between right and wrong? Does a child,
mm-hmm.
you know, is mentally prepared to own a firearm?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
things like that were put in consideration. The different red flag laws need to be implemented across states, whether blue state, red state.
Yep.
And a thing that will really, really cut down on gun violence, if you ask me, is if we'll have gun insurance liability, because we'll have car insurance liability, so why not gun?
Yep.
You know, if a kid
yep.
go in there, take his parents' gun, carry it to school,
mm-hmm.
shoot somebody, the parents are held liable.
Mm-hmm.
Simple
Absolutely.
As that. But, of course, Republicans are thrown to the NRA, which give them thousands
yeah.
and millions of dollars each election
mm-hmm.
cycle, and just turn a blind
yeah.
eye to it. And it's disgusting. It's disgraceful. Republicans
mm-hmm.
don't care about American kids. You know, they just care about the bottom line, which is
mm-hmm.
campaign contributions from the NRA and big corporations that, you know, milk the system in terms of, you know, we need clean, safer water, we need clean air. But no, they're fighting against it. They're trying to gut every government agency there is. Donald
mm-hmm.
Trump tries in his first term, and God forbid he wins a second term. You know,
mm-hmm.
imagine Bobby Kennedy as a CDC director, for example. He is an
oh,
anti-vax person, and he's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, so,
yeah.
you know, we're going to talk about the third-party candidates and what have you. Jill Stein, so she's running for the Green Party nomination again. This is like the fifth or sixth time she's running. She stands
mm-hmm.
no chance, you know.
No.
It's just atrocious and appalling, you know,
yeah.
that these people who stand no chance are more than likely going to get, you know, cut votes from Joe Biden and make Donald Trump get reelected. They should know better, and it's deplorable.
Yeah. You know, that's the part that I worry about, is these other candidates coming in full well knowing that they
mm-hmm.
have no chance of winning, you know, like the Green
mm-hmm.
Party and, you know, RFK Jr. You know, they have no
mm-hmm.
they have no chance of winning. But yet there are, you're
mm-hmm.
right, they're going to probably take away votes, you know, from Joe Biden, and that could
mm-hmm.
hurt him in the long run. And then we have
mm-hmm.
the monster coming back in, and you know,
mm-hmm.
every single day now they are warning everyone every day how dangerous he is. He's more dangerous now
mm-hmm.
than he ever was.
Exactly.
So we have to
yes.
understand that, you know, our democracy is on fire. If we don't understand
mm-hmm.
that democracy is on fire right now, and we are the ones with our votes that will put the fire out. If we don't do that,
mm-hmm.
then you have no one to blame but yourself when the shit hits the fan. And that's all I can say
mm-hmm.
about it.
Yes. And I have some interesting statistics here before we take our first call. The
okay.
last time Donald Trump was in office, hate groups rose by 55%. Hate crime rose by 19.5%, mostly in red states. The debt
mm-hmm.
increased by 39%. He raised debt, when you add up all presidents before him, you know, that
mm-hmm.
couldn't come close to the debt he was. The trade deficit
mm-hmm.
increased by 21%. The net job
mm-hmm.
loss was $2.9 million. COVID by Americans during World War II. Highest debt to GDP rated since World War II, inciting an attack on the Capitol on January 6, 2021. He stole classified documents. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's no excuse for that and everything. $3.8 billion diverted from the military for the wall he said Mexico would build and pay for.
Yep.
So, you know, he's not only a liar and a grifter, but You know, he doesn't know what he's doing. You know, he's not a good businessman, as you know. He's been broke 4 times. And for whatever reason, some American people, it's like a cult, basically, where he says things where Sean Hannity interview, he's saying, oh, you know, Sean Hannity asked, are you going to be a dictator? He's like, no, but day one, yes. You know, even if he's joking, you don't joke about something like that, because democracy is something precious. Something priceless. A lot of people in the world don't have democracy. North Korea, China, you know?
Yep.
So when he's like talking and, you know, claim that he's joking and people making excuses for him, saying, oh, no, he's just being Donald, you know, he's just joking. No, you don't joke like that. You know, you're not going to mess with my democracy. America's been going on strong since 1776, and this this orange monster, this Mango Mussolini thinks he's like king. That's not going to happen.
No, we can't let, you know, we cannot let it happen. And since you read that list, I want to read some things that Joe Biden has, his administration has accomplished. And, you know, you could do the thing. So under Biden, 14 plus million jobs, longest record high stock market, record decline in homicides. Consumer confidence surging, gas below $3. It is $2.79 here today. Inflation lower than when he took office. Wages outpacing inflation. Most small biz created in U.S. history. That's the comparison of what you read and what we have right now. And then we have people saying, you know, that, oh, Trump was so good for our country. Where were these people living for the 4 years he was in as president? You know, where were they? Under a rock somewhere? I mean, honestly, were they under a rock? It just blows my mind. But if you ask them, what did they do? They can't come up with an answer. They cannot come up with an answer to tell you. All they know what to say is, oh, he was the best president ever. And you in history. Well, what did it do for you? There's no answer because there is nothing.
No. And in turn, when you go on these Facebook different groups and say and ask, oh, what has Biden done for you? CHIPS Act, the infrastructure bill, yeah, the list go on and on. Strengthen the Affordable Care Act. You know, it's a read through. So, oh, that's a lie. The liberal media, you know, that's fake news. You know, so there's no arguing with these people. There's no, what's the word I'm looking for? No critical thinking. They listen to Fox News and other right-wing stations, whether radio or television. And they have bad judgment. They can't really, you know, talk to these people. You know, so it's frightening that so many people still support this loser, Donald Trump. Okay, so season 6, episode 23. The topic is, and we're off and running. You could call us at 515-605-9802. Say your first name, where you're calling from. This is Kitchen Politics 123. Hello, Elaine. Welcome to Kitchen Politics. What's cooking tonight?
Happy New Year, everybody.
Hi, Elaine.
Happy New Year.
All right. 24 has got to be better. I would like to address the dog and pony show that we saw yesterday when Chairman Johnson went down to the border. I think he had approximately 40 men with him, all Republicans. They're going to assess the problem. I mean, come on, this problem has been there for 60 years. The other problem is for 60 years, it's been basically a Republican control. Now, let me explain something to some of the people out here that don't seem to understand their civics. You don't have to have a Democratic president. I mean, you can have a Democratic president, and you can still have Republican control. And that's what Joe Biden is going through right now. He is a Democratic president with Republican control because Johnson has made it clear that he isn't going to give any money to Ukraine. He doesn't care if Russia walks all over Ukraine and then goes to Germany and Poland and et cetera. They don't care. They do not care.
Mm-hmm.
They said that he won't do anything about the border if there's any money for Ukraine. So who in the hell are those Republicans trying to fool? Then Representative Helms, I guess it's spelled pronounced Helms, H-E-H-L-S, no border deal as long as it's going to make Biden look good. Give me a break.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They talk about they want to do things and the Democrats don't. No, it hasn't been that way for 60 years.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And I am getting darn tired of it. And the dog and pony show the other day, I think the people ought to start calling up their representatives. Do, you know, even though they may be Republican, aggravate them a little.
Yep.
Aggravate the hell out of them. They're aggravating us.
Mm-hmm.
They're destroying our country. Get on the phone, email them, or whatever media you want to use to them. Enough is enough.
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous. And this morning when I was watching, Morning Joe, and they had someone down at the border. He was a reporter. And he said, the border has been calm. There's been no one coming over. And the whole area, you know, with the camera, panned it. And there was no one coming across. So, you know, it's all a bunch of BS. It really is. And they're just saying that all they want to do is cripple Joe Biden. That's it. That's all they want to do, make him look bad. That is it. They don't have any policies. They don't care about the American people. They don't care if you're starving. They don't care if you're homeless. They don't care if you don't have health insurance. They don't care about any of it. They don't care if your child is shot in the street at a school. They don't care.
Until well, you know, when you stop and think about the 4 years that the Orange Monster was in office, what the hell did they do? Nothing.
Nothing. No.
Nothing.
Absolutely.
All they're interested in is having a dictatorship. Evidently, every single one of them has been promised something.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
mm-hmm.
I mean, does Johnson and the rest of his men that went to the border, do they want boots on the ground? Are they going to send their sons? It's a volunteer service. Are their sons going to go?
Are you kidding?
Are their daughters going to go?
Are you kidding? No, absolutely not.
No, and if we do not help Ukraine, which is an ally.
Yes.
Well, we can just give it up. We might as well pack our bags and go to Canada. Then Canada's going to say, what the hell are we going to do with all these people?
Yep.
Right. But the thing, Elaine, you know, with the Ukraine war and everything, when the Soviet Union collapsed in, was it 1991, Christmas Day 1991, and one of the deals that Gorbachev made with then-President Bush, number 41, I was saying that, hey, you know, so Warsaw is now dissolved. There's no more Soviet Union. You have to keep this promise. There was no writing, but, you know, by word that's saying, hey, you know, all these former Warsaw nations, you know, mustn't and cannot join the NATO alliance, you know, because Russia may feel threatened. And, you know, Yeltsin came after Gorbachev, and we all know Putin come now. And so Putin used that as an excuse to invade Ukraine, you know.
Yep.
And who's next? Is it Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania? Is he going to be brave enough and bold enough to invade Germany, for example? Poland is on a radar. Finland, who just joined NATO. You know, so a lot of things happening in Europe
and when
everything.
We're busy fighting Russia, what is China going to do? How many countries is China going to gobble up?
Yeah.
Ah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the whole thing. You know, that's the whole thing. It's, you know, I mean, was it just last week that, you know, Russia bombed the shit out of Ukraine, literally?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, honestly.
You know, I'm looking at two powers on the other side of the pond that are playing, they're playing us real good if we don't wise up.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
It's
They're playing us big time.
No, it's very true if you think about it. Absolutely true. And, you know, the problem with America and the people that live in America, and I'm sorry if someone's going to be offended, you're offended, but everyone has such a short memory. You know, we forget about Ukraine. We forget about, you know, people that are starving, homeless. You know, the story is hot for a day, and then it goes away. School shootings, hot for a week, and it goes away. This is how America is. You know, we focus on that shiny thing that day, and then we forget about it. We can't forget about Ukraine. We just can't. And it's
I think the whole world is that way. I really think the whole world is that way.
Yeah.
All it amounts to is greed. People, you know, the average person just wants to be able to pick themselves up by the bootstraps, and depending on how ambitious they are, they're happy with their goals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We've got, you know, and the whole world has always got to be on the lookout for these monsters.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And
we have got one hell of a bad situation going on in the United States right now. I mean, it is bad.
Mm-hmm. Yep, mm-hmm. It is.
And then it's before we'll jump into the Iowa caucuses, which is some 3 weeks away, and then New Hampshire primary like a week afterwards. Roger Stone, he is good friends with Donald Trump, and he was caught on tape saying that he told Trump to deploy military with the Insurrection Act when he becomes president and is sworn in 2025. He said it also when the insurrection happened. You know, the insurrection act when he comes to power, if he comes to power. I mean, goodness gracious, can you see the Constitution being suspended and Trump putting military out there? I mean, the first thing that will happen, if that happens across the country, is that they're going to people's homes and take away the guns. And you know how these right-wingers love the guns and everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so for years now, since FDR days still now, ooh, Democrats trying to take away our guns. You know, Democrats are saying, no, we don't want your guns. What we want is responsible gun control and gun safety. Mm-hmm. And just be considerate, you know, go do the gun training, make sure you have lock and key. You know, when nobody's trying to take away your guns, but every 2 to 4 years, this is what Republicans and right-wingers and NRA do. Where to say, you know, the gaslight by saying, oh, yes, you know, Democrats coming for your guns. And you believe by now that people catch on saying, oh, geez, these Republicans are full of shit, you know? But it never seems to amaze me how the power of stupidity is out there. You know, these Trump people have no
Christmas
thinking.
Have you seen the latest on social media that the Capitol Guard opened the doors and were giving the insurrectionists a tour? I mean, what kind of garbage is that? You can't even believe your lying eyes?
Yeah.
I
know.
I sat there and watched it in real time.
That's what I'm trying to say. They think that the American people are so stupid, and they do realize they have short memory spans because, you know, like I said, the shiny thing that's in front of them today is like, ooh, wow, wow, and then tomorrow it's forgotten because there's a new shiny thing in front of you, you know, and they really believe that they can change this insurrection into, you know, into a tour guide thing, you know. Well, yeah, they did have a few of them that did an actual tour guide a few days before the insurrection, and they've been named already, but, you know, that's just to come right now. We're waiting for that. That's next. But,
well,
you know, they didn't think we're that stupid.
We've got to do something about Fox. It seems as if Fox has been playing a certain segment of the insurrection over and over. Because I don't watch Fox, but I'm picking this up from social media. Fox is playing where the two guards followed that horn guy, whatever the hell his name is, the half-dude, painted-up jerk. After him and following him around to make sure he wasn't going to do something stupid. The other thing they're playing is where that where the one guard had got the people to go to another part of the hallway so that our people could be taken to a safe place.
Yeah.
I know we've all seen that part on TV. But they're playing it with cutting others. They're playing it by splicing it. Making it look like that guard was touring those people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And are they playing the part where the young fellow was being crushed in the door? No. Were they playing the part where they were using a battery ram to knock down the door? No. Were they playing the part where they were breaking the windows? No. Were they playing the part where they were busting down the doors to the different senators and House of Representatives and sitting at their desks and peeing on the walls and shitting in the drawers? No, they didn't play those, did they?
The last few days,
I have really been doing some digging on social media, and I am getting really cheesed, really, really cheesed. You know what? Whoever you Republicans that are listening, we're on to your game.
Yeah.
We've had it.
It's horrible.
There are people out there that are confused right now, and you know what? We're straightening them out.
Yeah, we have to. It's a matter of...
Look at an example. Remember Ashley Babbitt? She was a former Air Force retired personnel who was trying to beat down the door of the U.S. House of Representatives. And, you know, and she was trying to climb through the broken window, the glass and everything. And about three, four warnings, says, stand back, stand back. And she was still there pushing, and she got shot, killed right there. You know, why doesn't Fox News play things like that? They're the insurrectionists, the Donald Trump supporters, going on rowdy and everything. I know they have her as a martyr, like, oh, look at that. You know, the people, you know, murdered her, basically. You know, it wasn't murder.
You know, here's the
was
other thing that Fox News doesn't
say.
And I got to blame a regular media for it. That day, the Capitol was closed to tours because they were in session. They were doing doing some high profile counting. In other words, a smooth transition of the election. That Capitol was not open to tours.
No, absolutely not.
Why in the hell isn't the media stressing that point? The Capitol was not open to tours. And if you don't want to call it an insurrection, it was a B&E, breaking and entering.
Added to which, Lauren Boebert from Colorado, she's moving from the 3rd District to the 4th, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Jim Jordan, and a couple of others, like a couple of years before the insurrection happened, they're giving tours, you know, from different groups saying, oh, yeah, this is where this is where that is, this is Nancy Pelosi's office, you know, this is where you got to the underground in case anything happened for safety. You know, and speaking of safety, when... Speaker Pelosi was being carried away by the Secret Service and her protection. Lauren Boebert was live tweeting where she was going, where she is, her location. You know, so why isn't Lauren Boebert kicked out of U.S. House? She should be in prison. How dare her? Who the hell is she? She thinks she is.
I mean, you know, Jim Jordan, he was giving tours as well. Matt Gaetz, he did the same thing. The list is out. I mean, Jack Smith already put that list out. And those people are in his, you know, he's going after them as well. But he's got a lot on his plate right now, you know. And it's unbelievable, you know, how entwined it all is. It is just every day there is something different that happens. You know, and they add on to the story, and it's never ending. It's never ending. That's what gets me. It's just never ending. You know.
Yes.
In Brazil, I just want to say this last thing. In Brazil, when they had that attempted coup, it was I think 2 years ago in January. I want to say it was 2 years ago. Already these people have already been to court. They got them out of there the same day. Put them on buses. They brought them right to prison. There was no messing around with these people. It was shut down that same day. A lot of them served 10 years in prison, are serving 10 years in prison. There's no appeals. There's none of that stuff. You're there. You did this. You're going to prison. That's how it works.
Exactly.
Not here. Not here. It's appeal after appeal to the Supreme freaking Court. It drives me insane. And that's why it's taking so long. It's tiring.
Yeah, I guess the rich, when you have money, you know, there's two different justice systems, one for the wealthy and one for everybody else, where, you know, when you have money, you can appeal and appeal and appeal and it goes on. But, Elaine, you were saying something.
Well, at one time, the Supreme Court would say, you've got to go through all the processes down from the lower level before you take and bother us with frivolous law, court cases. No, not that. What the hell has happened there? It goes from you, Donald Trump says, nope, I want the Supreme Court, and they bypass everybody. This is getting to be bullshit.
Yep. Adulterated
bullshit.
I guess they are going to take the case, aren't they? I'm not sure, but I think
they are. Well, they've taken every case so far that he's wanted.
Yeah, I know. So the thing is that, you know, that's why it's taking, and, you know, they're dragging their feet because we are on a time crunch here. You know, we've got 11 months. I put that man in freaking prison, but I don't think it's going to happen. That's what scares me to death.
Well, I've got something else.
They're making,
any Democrat in Michigan that thinks that they're going to pull the wool over our eyes, they better get the hell out of the race now because they're not going to, I'm not going to back them. I'm going to make sure that I'm going to be a damn thorn in their side. And we got a couple Democrats right now that, that are thinking about running, and I don't even want to see their name up there. I don't trust them.
Hey, but listen, Lori, what do you think about the excuse that Republicans are making that, you know, Jefferson Davis, he was a Confederate president. He wasn't tried for treason, so why should Donald Trump be tried for treason? You know, if the insurrection wasn't treason, what the hell is it? You know, he should be made an example of.
Exactly. And not only that, David, I don't know if you ever saw the video that they that his son took, Don Jr. took, when they were in the tent. That is appalling. Why isn't that all over social media and all over the news? That should be replayed all the time. It showed them all in there, Ivanka, Eric, Don Jr., Trump was in there. Look, the one, let me think, he was chief of staff. Forgot his name right now.
Right, Mark Meadows.
I don't know who you're talking about.
Mark Meadows.
I mean, they were all there. They were all there.
In some kind of a tent.
And they were saying, oh, it's coming, T-minus 2 minutes. You know, they knew what the hell was happening. They knew what was going to go on. And they were laughing and
drinking. Yeah, they're drinking champagne and eating caviar and what have you. And, you know, a big smile across the board. They're dancing and what have you. It's disgraceful. But anyway, enough of Donald Trump. He's a loser. So we're going to talk about that primary schedule for 2024 in, let me see, January 15th. That is 11 days' time. The Iowa caucus is going to happen. It's a closed GOP caucus where 40 delegates are at stake. And a week later on, January 23rd, which is a Tuesday, New Hampshire primary, where 22 delegates will be up for grabs in New Hampshire. And that will be a mixed primary. Mixed primary meaning Republicans and independents can vote in the Republican primary. So these two first out of the gate, the Iowa caucus and New Hampshire primary. Nikki Haley is making strides. She's at 16% compared to 18% for Ron DeSantis. And Trump is up there in the 50s, 52, 53%. Everybody else is in single digits. Who do you think will come out on top in Iowa?
Oh, I think Trump will. I hate to say it. I really do hate to say it. So that's what I think.
If he weren't in the primary and the caucuses, do you think Nikki Haley could pull off an upset, you know, if, you know, hypothetically Trump wasn't there? You know, because I can't foresee the Republicans picking a woman as their standard bearer.
They're still sexist
and misogynistic.
Yeah, no, I agree with you on that. I agree with you. I don't think they would pick Nikki.
Mm-hmm.
The number one reason is she's a woman. My other reason is that she is a flip-flopper. If you pay attention to what she says, she changes her story every single time, depending on where she is. And she even, you know,
added to which, she's not only a woman, but she's not a white woman. She claims she's a white woman, but no, she's Indian, you know?
Yes, she is.
Indians are not white. Come on, no. You know? Delusion of grandeur.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely right. Mm-hmm. No. You know, the only one that, I mean, this sounds terrible to say, but I don't like Chris Christie. You know, I mean, I really, but if he were the candidate, I would rather have him be a candidate than Trump any day, you know. And I'm not saying I like him, you know, but out of all of them, he's the only sane one right now that seems sane.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's, you know, trash talking. And he is telling the truth when he talks about Trump. He does tell the truth.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he does say, you know, what he's done and what he, you know, what he could get for it. But, you know, as far as his policies, he's a Republican, so you can't support him.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely not, you know.
Yes. Alice, so we go through quickly the campaign schedule for the caucuses and primaries, February 24th, from February 3rd right through to February 27th. You're going to have South Carolina Democratic primary, which is an open primary. An open primary is where Democrats, Republicans, and Independents can vote. 55 delegates at stake. Nevada Democratic primary, 36. Well, no, Joe Biden is the clear choice. February 8th, Nevada Republican caucus, 26 delegates at stake. That's a close primary. U.S. Virgin Islands Republican, 5 delegates. And most of these primaries and caucuses are closed. You know, close primaries is when if you're registered for that party, you have to vote in that primary or caucus. Open primaries where everybody can vote, whether independent, Democrat, or Republican. And a mixed primary is when, you know, Republicans and independents can vote, or Democrats and independents can vote, depending on the state. You know, different state, different rules. South Carolina primary is February 24th. GOP 50 delegates. That's an open primary. Michigan primary, February 27th. Republican 16 delegates. That's an open primary. Super Tuesday is in March, and you have the Idaho Republican Caucus, Michigan Republican Caucus, Missouri Republican Caucus, D.C. Republican Primary, North Dakota Republican Caucus. March 5th is when Super Tuesday is, and a lot of these states, like Colorado, California, Arkansas, American Samoa Caucus, Alaska, Alabama, North Dakota, Missouri, Michigan, all will be Republican. The only Super Tuesday thing for Democrats is Iowa, the Democratic caucus, mail-in only. The main primary, both Democrats and Republicans will be closed. It will be closed primaries. Massachusetts, Minnesota, North Carolina, Oklahoma, Tennessee, Texas, Utah, Vermont, Virginia, Democrats abroad. So all those will be on Super Tuesday. So March 5th, 2024, that's when Super Tuesday is. And by then, you know, if what's his name, Ron DeSantis from Florida and Nikki Haley don't win big or even come in a strong second, then, you know, their effort, they should just pack up and leave. You know, and that's what happened to Chris Christie now. He says that he's in for the long haul. Vivek Ramaswamy said the same thing when he spoke with ABC News. You know, so to me, all these people running in these primaries, they're running to get the attention of Donald Trump because it's a foregone conclusion that, you know, with such a big lead, insurmountable lead in the 50s and 60s in some places, he's going to be the nominee. But the problem is, if and when he's convicted, you know, God forbid he wins the presidency, you know, that would be a constitutional crisis because we never have this. The forefathers who wrote the Constitution didn't foresee an arrogant, selfish, self-loathing person like Donald Trump as president. What will happen, you know, if he's elected president again? Constitutional crisis.
And all hell will break loose. There's no doubt about that.
Definitely.
There are no words for it. That's how scary it is.
Yeah, 515-605-9802 is the number to call. Say first name and where you're calling from. We'd love to hear from everybody, no matter if you're a Democrat, Republican, Independent, Socialist, Communist, whomever. We love when new people call in and talk about whatever is on their mind. Even though I have a set topic tonight and everything, you know, you can talk about anything when you call in. We're all ears, you know. We love learning from people, their different perspectives. Mm-hmm. And if you're a Trump Republican trying to call in here and gaslight, then it won't last long because we're not going to waste the time, and our time especially, entertaining this rubbish about conspiracy theories and what have you. Let's go to Colorado now. Lauren Boebert, Adam Fish, he is a former Navy guy, and he ran last time, election cycle, and lost by 500-plus votes. Now, because he's such a big risk, and she has been through a couple of scandals and what have you, she's changing from District 3 to District 4. That's a cowardly move by her. What's your perspective on that?
Yeah, I heard that she's not going to run in that District 3. She's moving over to District 4 because she knows she'll lose in 3. And I'm sure District 4, same way about her. So I have a feeling that I think Lauren Boebert is yesterday's news. And there was also an article that was published in June of 22, and you know, she's anti-abortion. Allegedly, it's been reported that she has had two abortions. So it's always same thing. You know, the hypocrisy is unbelievable. You know, she'll stand up there and she will, you know, preach in a church when I've seen her do it, and then she turns around and, you know, goes to a theater with a man and she's half dressed. We all know the story. So she is the ultimate. She needs to go. Her and Marjorie Taylor Greene as well.
Yeah, the thing is about Boebert now, switching from 3 to 4, 3 was a swing district, but 4 is more red and more conservative. So it may not be easy for whichever Democrat running against her in District 4. And the thing about it, though, you know, those two abortions, allegedly, she worked as an unlicensed paid escort. And that's how she met Ted Cruz from Texas. And it was Ted Cruz who encouraged her to run for office and everything. So the allegations came from American Muckrakers PAC, the group that published the viral sexually explicit video of former Congressman Madison Cawthorn of North Carolina with another man. Warren, after Cawthorn lost his primary, that they were moving to target Bobo the Clown in Colorado. You know, so that's a good thing they're doing. The PAC said that Boebert, who's 35 years old, has had her first abortion around 18, allegedly in Grand Junction, Colorado, and a second at age 23, where she went to Planned Parenthood in Greenwood Springs, Colorado. This was allegedly during the time that she was working as an escort. They claim no medical workers provided her records or health information, so HIPAA was not violated, and the information about abortions came from another source with acknowledged the situation. So again, the family values conservative Boebert, like the whole host of them, You know, the talking mm-hmm. from one side of the mouth, but doing another thing. It's do as I say, but don't do as I do. The hypocrisy is astounding. The information is true. If the information is true, Boebert would join the infamous club of anti-abortion politicians who support abortion in their private lives. Example, Scott Desjarlais and Tim Murphy, you know, who are former congressmen. Those are the ones that we'll know about, you know. So Boebert seemingly denied the story in a tweet Tuesday night, though she did not specify of what she was referring. So, again, the hypocrisy is just ridiculous on the part of Lauren Boebert. You know, so they want to ban abortion nationwide. Boebert, Green, Matt Gaetz, you know, Jim Jordan, whomever. You know, so in the case of incest and rape, look at the Texas example where the woman had to leave the state to, you know, have a life-saving abortion, because if she don't abort this kid, the kid will either be a stillbirth and she don't have any chance of reproducing anymore, or she die in a process of giving childbirth. So these extremist MAGA idiots who run in Texas and trying to run the red states down to the ground, they haven't learned from Kansas when Governor Sam Brownback, for example, he was for austerity measures and it ruined Kansas, basically. You know, you'd think from then they'd learn, but, you know, these Bible Belt, you know, people, it's like there's no critical thinking, you know, and it's, it's hurtful, you know, that, you know, so much is at stake here. And they're saying, oh, yeah, but Trump cared for us and what have you. If he was a billionaire, why is he begging people to donate to his legal fund? That's one, that's illegal. You know, and it should be another charge against him. So hopefully Jack Smith will look into that and slap more charges on him and everything. And there's this thing going around as well saying, you know, what's his face? There is some talk about Nikki Haley being possibly Trump's running mate. You know, that's frightening. That's worse than Sarah Palin. What do you think about that?
Well, Nikki Haley doesn't scare me as much as the woman from, I'm trying to remember her name now. She had the short hair. She did not want to concede.
Carrie Lake from Arizona.
Yeah. Carrie Lake, I have a feeling that that's who he would pick if he's going to pick a woman. That's who I think he would pick. I really, really do. She fits the profile and the personality that's needed as a vice president. And if you know what I'm trying to say, Nikki Haley, nah, she doesn't have it compared to her. You know, that's my opinion. I mean, because they want to be cruel. And trust me, that woman can be cruel.
Nikki Haley is extremely ambitious, extremely smart. And there's no way in hell Trump would pick a woman that is smart.
No, I can't see at all. But then again, what do I know? I mean, so many things have happened that I would think can't happen or won't happen or can never happen. And look at where we are, you know? Look at where we are.
That's very true.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to play this clip here. I'm queuing it up and everything about Steve Bannon speaking about Nikki Haley as Trump's possible vice president. It's from CNN. It happened 2 days ago. And like I say, it's scary as hell because nobody is qualified in the current Republican Party. They're all MAGAs to assume the White House. As arguably the most powerful person in the world, you know. So this is Dana Bash, and, you know, she spoke about Trump and DeSantis here qualifying for the CNN debate in Iowa. Because, one, a town hall meeting coming up for Fox News with Trump and all the other candidates. And Nikki Haley as Trump's possible vice president. It's a lengthy clip. I'm going to try to play some of it. Here it is.
Here into the studio with our panel of fantastic political reporters, CNN's Jeff Delaney, The Washington Post, Leanne Caldwell, and Ramesh Manoru of the National Review. Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Inside Politics of the New Year of 2024. Here we go. Jeff Delaney, you've been out in Iowa a lot. What do you make of the fact that, kind of as we just laid out, the two who are kind of right under Donald Trump are still mostly going after each other and not the guy who's so far ahead?
Because the guy who's so far ahead has a core base of supporters, and no TV ad or no new argument is going to pry most of those supporters away. But the available voters are the people who have made the decision to move on from Trump. They believe it's a good idea to have a new face of the Republican Party. And those are largely people who are either still open-minded, but looking at Nikki Haley or Ron DeSantis. So this race for second place is actually really fascinating. It has so many layers to it. A couple things that I'm watching as we head out to back to Iowa later this week, tomorrow, in fact. Nikki Haley, she's starting off much later in terms of organization and ground game. But a couple voters I was texting with over the holidays, they are still trying to decide between Haley or DeSantis. That's what these commercials are designed to do, mentioning China, mentioning this or that. So that's why Trump is sort of getting a free pass, if you will. So it's sort of been this just this snowball effect of Trump is in a race all to himself, and Haley and DeSantis are in this fight for second place, but you know, they're not able to affect the probable front run.
And as we just heard from Steve, and we've been talking about every day on this show, Nikki Haley is playing, I mean, not that Ron DeSantis isn't playing in New Hampshire, but Nikki Haley sees a much better path for herself in New Hampshire than she does in Iowa, which means that Iowa is even more important for Ron DeSantis. I don't want to say Iowa or bust, but it's pretty close for DeSantis. I want you to listen to what one of his final arguments, closing arguments, is on TV in an ad.
They've corrupted our institutions, indoctrinated our kids, opened our border, weaponized government against us, and destroyed the American dream. Ron DeSantis is the only candidate who's defeated them.
I mean, that could very well be a Donald Trump ad. The messages are identical.
Well, and it's not an accident, right? I mean, DeSantis' calculation throughout has been that there's a lot that Republican voters like about Donald Trump, but there might be a fraction of them who like those things but don't want to be led by him personally anymore. That's been his entire strategy, and he has maintained, you know, for all the other problems of his campaign, a fair amount of discipline in pursuing that strategy. The problem is, so far, the evidence that it's working is pretty thin. This is not the place that DeSantis wanted to be at this stage of the campaign.
Absolutely right. My colleagues in the Washington Post had a really fascinating story today about the rise of Donald Trump over the past year and how he's the clear frontrunner. And one of the most fascinating things that was in that story is all the internal polling that has been done with other candidates and outside groups and focus groups about how nothing sticks against Donald Trump, that it was impossible to move any Trump supporters away from him, to the point that Club for Growth, who's been anti-Trump, is not going to challenge him because they have been unable to find an argument to do so. And so what DeSantis and Haley are doing in this race for second place is they're also splitting the non-Trump voters, which is going to make it very difficult for either one of them to ever topple the frontrunner. Yeah, that's so interesting. And it is so true that you are seeing, I mean, not a total consolidation, but even here in Washington, Politico has a story out today about the U.S. Congress and Republicans in Congress saying its leader has no relationship with the former president, but Senate Republicans are peeling off to endorse him on the eve of the Iowa caucuses.
A handful have, sure, and the ones who haven't are saying that they're likely to support him, or they will support him if he's the nominee, and put Mitch McConnell in that category. We've known for a long time that that Leader McConnell would have preferred virtually any other Republican but Trump. But on the verge of if he becomes the nominee, of course they're going to get behind him. One thing that we'll also be talking about a lot for the rest of the year is the fight for control of the Senate. And Republicans can smell a majority in the Senate. It is so close. So that's why they're not getting crossways with Donald Trump.
But their chances of getting the Senate are probably a little bit lower with Trump as the nominee. You know, one of the interesting things going on here is that Trump in the nomination contest gets the benefit both of being the establishment candidate and of being the populist insurgent. And that's one of the reasons it's so hard to overcome him.
Yeah. Wow. That's pretty tough to do, but you're right. I never thought of it that way. Another thing that really caught our attention is something that is brewing inside Donald Trump's orbit. And that is, I believe this was after some reporting, including by our Kristen Holmes, about Trump just kind of waxing about who his VP pick would be, assuming that he is the nominee, and mentioning Nikki Haley's name. And the pushback from people extremely close to him, including Donald Trump Jr. and Steve Bannon, going after Nikki Haley. Well, there's Donald Trump Jr., his tweet, December 23rd. Let me be clear. We are not letting the swamp keep the status quo, and this Hail Mary isn't happening. Then he said that he was going to talk live about it. Listen to what Steve Bannon said on a podcast about this.
Okay, yeah, we'll soon get back to the Steve Bannon thing on his podcast. But, yes, the Republicans are about to endorse Donald Trump, who served in Congress. And what do you make of it, Laurie and Elaine?
Yeah,
Why are they just afraid of him? Why are they afraid of Donald Trump?
You know, that is what I've been trying to figure out for years now.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Why do they bend a knee to him? Why is it that when he has a private conversation with one of them, like when he had with Johnson, when he went down to Mar-a-Lago and then he came back, he seemed mm-hmm. like he totally changed his attitude as to, you know, he was going to be do differently. I don't know. And that's what bothers me more than anything else, is what does he have? What influence does he tell them that, you know, your family is going to be killed? I don't know, because that's what it would have to be for me, is, you know, have mm-hmm. someone say, you either do what I tell you or I have people that will kill your family tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And I would fall in mm-hmm. line. I would fall in line. But that would be maybe the only thing that would do it for me. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Or my take on it really is that as President of the United States, he has access to the FBI who investigate people. And probably, just probably, Donald Trump has secrets to these people. Because from what I hear on Capitol Hill, behind closed doors, Republicans are so anti-Trump. And literally sick of this man, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But yet still in public, they say, oh, yes, Donald, bend over, let me kiss your ass, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's so disgusting and disheartening that the Republican Party has morphed into this rubbish of a party.
You know, but the thing is, David, we all know that they are sick of him. I mean, we all know that. We all have figured that part out. But they still
cow-tied.
They still do what he says. And that's the scary
mm-hmm.
part about the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because think about mm-hmm. that. If they're doing now, and he becomes president,
mm-hmm.
the country's done. It's done.
Mm-hmm.
Done like,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
People have to.
Elaine, what do you think?
I think there are people mm-hmm. that are 100% loyal to him. We don't know who they are. But he does have
mm-hmm.
A circle, I would say a circle of bodyguards. I would call them bodyguards.
Mm-hmm.
That are 1,000% behind him. Bannon would be one of them.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
I think the other people, I think Laurie hit the nail on the head. Trump tells them, if I get elected,
mm-hmm.
this is what's going to happen.
Yeah.
My
mm-hmm.
my soldier 1, 2, 3, and 4, people like Flynn. Yeah, I will name Flynn. I think Flynn would do whatever Trump wanted him to do.
Oh, of course, in a heartbeat.
Mm-hmm.
And they're told this, and this will happen to you if you don't play ball and I get elected.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I could.
Things may change once we go to the polls. I'll tell you, I really think the world of Whoopi Goldberg, and she said it lies mm-hmm. with us, one vote at a time. We've got to
yep.
get our butts out there, and we have to vote blue, period.
Well, that's
mm-hmm.
it. That's only, that is the only way that we can fight back right now. That's the only thing that we really
mm-hmm.
have is to get people out registered and to vote, you know, blue. Even if they
mm-hmm.
don't, you know, really are 100% sure of President Biden, it doesn't matter
mm-hmm.
this time. And, 4 years from now, you could, you know, another candidate will show up and there's plenty out there. But for this time, to save our democracy, to save our country,
let me put it in different terms. The Democratic
yeah.
Party's got warts. Warts are curable.
Mm-hmm.
The Republican Party has cancer.
Yeah.
Syphilis.
Mm-hmm.
No, they got cancer
mm-hmm.
and syphilis and
yeah.
and leprosy. So
yeah.
which party do you want? You want the party with the cancer, syphilis, and leprosy, or do you want
mm-hmm.
the party with warts? Yes, we have warts,
mm-hmm.
but warts are curable. And
yeah.
we take care of
mm-hmm.
our warts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Menendez
yeah.
is out.
Mm-hmm. Which leads into the next question.
Yeah.
Which leads into the next question. The third party candidates. There's no third party candidates except for Theodore Teddy Roosevelt and Ross
mm-hmm.
Perot, who made a dent in everything
mm-hmm.
in presidential elections.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think, well, no, we all know that RFK and Drew and Jill Stein that way, you know,
mm-hmm.
come anywhere close
yeah.
to Ross Perot or Teddy Roosevelt.
No. They're just annoying.
You know, how many votes do you think they can cipher off either Trump or Biden? And who does it help more? Does a third party candidacy like RFK Jr. with name recognition cipher more votes from Trump, or does it cipher more votes from Biden?
I would probably say in that case from Biden, because possibly they think he's a Democrat still. You know what I'm saying? Or he will,
mm-hmm,
you know, run
mm-hmm.
the government like a Democrat. Who knows what they're thinking?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that would hurt
Biden. It's quite shocking. That it's quite
yeah.
shocking in the Midwest.
No, I think there's more Republicans that think that Kennedy Jr. is
mm-hmm.
thinking more like a Republican because he's anti-vax.
Mm-hmm.
He's anti-vax. And he's
I'm
conspiracy theories.
I'm thinking of like,
mm-hmm.
because of the name, you know, they just look at the name. Oh, you know, a Kennedy. Same
no.
people that don't pay attention is what I'm talking about.
Nostalgia.
People that really,
yeah, nostalgia.
You know,
no, I think he's more of a Republican voter.
Mm-hmm.
It's very
because
possible.
Because of what he's been talking about.
Oh, yeah, his policy
mm-hmm.
for sure. But I'm just saying the name itself, people that don't pay attention to politics and they see a Kennedy
mm-hmm.
name, you know, maybe they'll vote for him for that reason because he's a Kennedy and they don't know much about
yeah,
him anyway.
Yeah,
so,
him.
Yes.
Yeah,
no,
we've
got to look at the people that are under 50. They don't know who in the hell Kennedys are.
Yeah, no, they don't.
They haven't got a
mm-hmm.
clue.
No, they don't know anymore, no. It's the
they
older
don't
people.
Know. And
mm-hmm.
those are the ones that seem
yeah,
to
yeah,
be
okay, the
very motivated.
So
they seem to be the MAGAs.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. The thing is, though, with this Israel-Palestine conflict, a lot of millennials
mm-hmm.
out there saying, oh, you know, Joe Biden just picking the side
yeah.
of Israel 100%, you know, and
yeah.
I'm going to vote in protest for Kennedy or Jill Stein, you know,
mm-hmm.
which is ridiculous because if you vote for either of those candidates, Trump gets back in. And it's going to be 10
yeah.
times, 100 times more worse than
yeah.
you know what we'll have now. Not saying it's not 100%, but it's getting there compared to the idiot that was there before. You know, but these millennials and some people who are baby boomers and some people who are Generation X, they're saying, oh, you
mm-hmm.
know, if Joe Biden, you know, stops siding with Israel and be, you know, totally neutral, you know, then
mm-hmm.
I'd consider voting for him again. And some want to stay
mm-hmm.
home, you know, or some want to write in a candidate. But how
mm-hmm.
do we get through to these people
well,
that, you
know,
Trump
what,
wants to be a dictator?
David,
well,
don't forget your white supremacists are anti-Jewish. Don't let them fool you with what they're saying. They're anti-Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've got a white supremacist sitting on the fence and they're going to vote third candidate, they're mm-hmm. not. It's a vote for Trump or, you know, for Trump.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. All I know is that we got us good people got to get our asses out there and we better vote.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I can't predict that crap anymore.
No. It's very unpredictable now because everything is very mixed up. But I do believe that the issues that Gen Z and the millennials are worried about is, of course, the abortion issue, climate change, because that's their future. And I also believe gun control. I think those three things are
mm-hmm.
really important. Of course, you know, their mm-hmm. college debt and that sort of thing, which Biden has really tried to help them with, and he has helped them some.
Mm-hmm.
But they know
yeah.
the Republicans won't go to the finish line with it. So that's why I'm thinking that maybe those two will vote blue for those reasons. Because
mm-hmm.
they understand
mm-hmm.
there's no other way
mm-hmm.
that they're going to get any of that with a Republican in office.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm. All right, before moving on to the Jeffrey Epstein thing, the Epstein list, I wanted to explain to people listening that the difference between the primary and caucuses. Open
mm-hmm.
primary or open caucus is when voters may vote in either party primary, regardless of voter party registration, but can choose only one primary to vote in. So if you're a Republican and it's an open primary or open caucus, you can, you know, go over to the Democrats, but you can't vote in your own primary or vice
mm-hmm.
versa. A closed primary is only voters registered in their respective parties may vote in the party primary. So, you know, if you're a registered Republican, you can only, you know, vote in a Republican primary caucus or a Democratic primary or a Democratic caucus if you're a
mm-hmm.
Democrat, registered Democrat. A mixed one, though, is either semi-open or semi-closed environment. Unaffiliated voters can choose to vote in either primary or voters can switch registration when they're voting. You know, so... the Democratic and Republican primary caucus delegates, there's a difference, though, are proportional allocated to the candidates based on the percentage share of the vote for the Democratic primary and caucus delegates. Other hand, Republican primary caucus delegates are winner-take-all, meaning that the winner of the contest takes all available delegates, you know, so
mm-hmm.
They have different rules for the different parties. Proportional delegation or delegates are awarded based on the percentage of votes received by candidates or some formulation of divided up the delegates. The winner-take-all system is all delegates are given to the winner of the contest, and the winner-take-most, some delegates are reserved for the winning, and some may be divided proportionally. So unbound is what it means is delegates are not bound to a specific candidate and can support any candidate of their choosing varying by the state party organization. So, for example, in the Iowa caucus coming up, you say you may, you know, support this person, but at any time you could switch and say, oh, okay, I was going with Trump. No, I'm going with Nikki Haley. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, the caucus is like a little bit more looser compared to the primary system.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I'm going to have all that information up by early next week on kitchenpartics123.com. So people can
mm-hmm.
be aware of what type of, you know, primers and caucus their state has. Yes,
yep.
Ma'am. So on to, what's his name? Epstein. What's his name? Jeffrey
yeah.
Epstein.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So we'll talk about this man now, this crazy lunatic
mm-hmm.
who allegedly killed himself while in prison. First of all, I don't think he killed himself. He has too much secrets for big, powerful people. And the biggest
yep.
names on the Epstein list weren't sealed yesterday, I think it was.
Yep.
Time Magazine released an article, and it was written by Ko Yu and Sulkri Berger, and the names are some big names. What the documents revealed is that little action was taken by individuals outside of Epstein, though there is a 2016 deposition from Joanna Josberg, one of Epstein's victims, that mentioned politicians and figureheads in the United States abroad took part in this whole rigmarole, where young children as young as 13, 14 years old were used for sex work under the guise of, you know, massage parlors and what have you on this island. Celebrities' names that were called, allegedly, were Bruce Willis, Cameron Diaz, Kate Blanchett, Kevin Spacey, Naomi Campbell, and Leonardo DiCaprio. It was in the records of the depositions, but they have not been accused of helping Epstein in any capacity. So Sundberg was only asked if she had met the aforementioned people, which she denied. So the connections to Epstein previously led high-level executives to resign from their positions, including Barclays bank chief, executive Jess Stanley, Jean-Luc Brunel. He's a French model agent suspected of scouting girls for Epstein. But Jean-Luc Brunel killed himself in Paris jail in 2022 while he awaited trial for rape accusations. The documents on yesterday, confirmed the scale of both Epstein's alleged sex trafficking ring, this powerful social network. It landed Prince Andrew, the younger brother of King Charles III, was one of the names referenced in the document mentioned by witnesses for touching her breasts. Prince Andrew was also previously accused of raping Jeffrey when she was a teenager. I remember that horrible interview Prince Andrew did at BBC where he sweat a lot and he was stammering and tripping over his words and everything. And even though there are pictures of him and Jeffrey, he denied ever meeting her and don't remember who she is. And, you know, up to this day, still denying allegations and everything. So he paid her off in 2022 for an undisclosed sum. And the case against Epstein, he's a convicted sex offender who lured young girls under the impression that it would be giving him massages. And these massages became increasingly sexual in nature, according to the indictment against him in 2019. You know, so Epstein has long avoided facing any consequences for his action, and he was first investigated for sexual misconduct in 2005 after a woman claimed that he had molested her teenage stepdaughter. Palm Beach police eventually charged Epstein with counts of unlawful sex with a minor in May 2006, but then-state attorney Barry Kitchener sent the case to a grand jury, which indicted him with one count of soliciting prostitution. The charge was minor, leading to much criticism and causing the FBI to open a federal investigation against Epstein. But Epstein ended up serving a short 18-month sentence in 2008 for recruiting underage girls for prostitution after he struck a plea deal with U.S. Attorney Alexander Acosta to avoid being charged as a federal crime. You know, so the big names out there include Bill Clinton, the former president. Allegedly, you know, Clinton, Epstein told Sojourn in his testimony that, quote, Clinton liked them young, referring to girls. And she also knew that Epstein had dealings with Clinton but did not know that they were friends until later media reports. You know, so allegedly Bill Clinton visited his rape island over 60 times, and the media scrutiny has been big. In 2019, Bill Clinton's office said that the former president did not know anything about Epstein's terrible crimes and that he had not spoken to Epstein in well over a decade. Another one that's on the list, Donald Trump, the former president, whose relationship with Epstein was also widely reported, was also mentioned in 2016 deposition. She and Epstein once made an impromptu stop in Atlantic City due to poor flying weather. She was asked if she had given Trump a massage, but she said no. So once, you know, Trump once called Epstein a terrific guy, but later said he had a falling out with him. And, quote, I don't think I've spoken to him for 15 years. I'm not a fan of his, said Trump, end quote, in 2019. You know, so Bill Richardson, the former governor of New Mexico, who died last September, was also mentioned. According to the Las Cruces Sun News, you know, he was instructed to give, she was instructed to give former governor of New Mexico, Bill Richardson, a massage. She said yes. Leslie Wexner, he's the billionaire founder of L Brands, which owned Victoria's Secret and Bed Bath and Body Works, was also mentioned in this deposition. Glenn Dubin, he's a hedge fund manager and billionaire. Who else? Going on this list. Alan Dershowitz, he was Epstein's lawyer, was also mentioned in these newly released records. So allegedly, Alan Dershowitz, you know, got massages from these young girls. And these minors allegedly were forced to have sex with the former law professor multiple times. And Dershowitz denied, saying that, you know, was an eyewitness to the sexual abuse of many other minors, but Epstein and several of Epstein's co-conspirators. Dershowitz would later play a significant role in negotiating the NPA on Epstein's behalf. You know, NPA stands for non-prosecution agreement, you know, for soliciting minors. The next one is computer science scientist and former MIT professor Marvin Minsky. He was mentioned in the document. Jufri said that she was asked to have sex with Minsky when he went to Epstein Island in the U.S. Virgin Islands. You know, so those are the big names, basically, that were called in the Time article.
Yeah. There's more to come, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
definitely.
What kind of a person was Epstein and his girlfriend? Or they weren't married, right? The one that's in prison right now. She's 20 years in prison.
Gillian Maxwell, that's her name, 20 years. Gillian Maxwell.
There's 20 years in prison. She got. What kind of people were they? I mean, it's appalling. I don't even have words for it. You know, what they did for all those years. Unbelievable.
Well, the thing is, men, older men, for some reason, when they get, you know, older and everything, it's like a car. You know, it sounds bad, but this is just reality of the situation where when men get older, I want a new brand, meaning something younger. Like, for example, a car. You know, you can have this car for 10 years, and, you know,
then you
want up to scratch. And then you want a new car, so it's a new model, just like women.
Yeah.
Let's say women as trophies, basically, you know?
But
and
were,
then,
but,
you know.
Yeah, they were so young. I mean, 15, 16 years old. My God.
As young as 13.
Traumatized they were. I mean, I can't even imagine it. You know, it's just so horrific. The whole thing is sick. Sick. And for all these famous, rich people, these men, and there were some women, you know, I mean, it's just mind-blowing. It's mind-blowing.
Allegedly, Bill Gates, name called. Allegedly, Tom Hanks. Allegedly, allegedly, the Virgin Airlines guy, what's his name, Richard Branson's name was called. You know, so it's just coming out of the woodwork where these prominent men who should know better, Elon Musk is the richest man in the world. His name has been called many times. You know, so, you know, when you have like a 13 or 14-year-old virgin, you know, they don't have anything to compare you with. So they'll think, oh, yeah, he's the best. First time I'm having sex, you know, maybe willingly or maybe unwillingly.
It's
you know, but
unwilling.
That's how some men roll.
Yeah, it's so wrong in so many ways. So that's all I can say.
Elaine, you're saying something, you're making a point?
I was going to say that I read the testimony of one of the girls when Epstein was on trial, and it all starts out, It's a con job for young, inexperienced girls, or anybody inexperienced, and they are trained to give a massage, and the young girls are giving massages, and they groom them. They groom them one little bit at a time. I don't want to go into any real detail right now, but you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And then they get these young girls to feel guilty.
Mm-hmm.
And then they get these young girls to feel like they don't want to be told on. And then the young girls feel dirty.
Yeah.
And that's how they get these kids. It's a shame that that's how they get them. And what pisses me off is all the pictures that I have seen with Donald Trump and Ivanka.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
My God. Oh, yeah. There's pictures there where she looks like she was just starting to get pimples on her face.
Mm-hmm.
And she is standing there with her father and Epstein and other men and other little girls.
Yep.
What the hell is the matter with these MAGA men? Are they blind? Or are they just as trashy?
They are. I.
And that's all over social media.
Oh,
that
I know.
Poor little girl. You know, there's a part of me that feels sorry for even the adult Ivanka, what she had to go through to have him for a father.
Oh, I can't even imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Trump was in 67 pictures with Epstein over 25 years. So it wasn't like he didn't know him. It wasn't like he didn't spend time with them. That's a lot of pictures in 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes.
Mm-hmm.
And too many of them are with his daughter, with Trump's daughter, and little girls the same age.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
They didn't even have bras yet. I don't think some of them even had training bras on yet.
But that's the thing, ladies. I'm telling you, some men, not this man, but some men enjoy having, the younger the girl is, you know, they feel more powerful. And it's just like, it's sickening, basically. You know, there's
I
no excuse
that,
for that.
David.
You know, taking their virgin.
It galls me to no end to see Trump in these pictures and have the MAGA men stick up for him. I absolutely can't stand them. And yet, some of the MAGA men that I know have daughters. They have never done anything bad to their daughters. They've been good fathers, but yet they worship Trump. I don't understand it. It makes me go crazy.
It makes
absolutely crazy.
Makes no sense.
The one that really disappointed me is that Bill Gates is allegedly, you know, one of those frequent flyer miles to Epstein Island to get his dollars off of these young women, you know? I held him in such high esteem. And maybe that's why his wife divorced
him. Saying all this today, I've got to replay what I heard on The View today. And you know who Sonny is on The View?
Yeah, Sonny Hostin.
The attorney.
Mm-hmm.
She was saying that we have to be very careful with those names and how they were put on that document.
And that's why we sit here allegedly.
You know, she said that that this should not have been released the way it was released. She gave a statement today. So I'm kind of, I'm leaving my... I'm leaving my opinions on some of these names that I've heard until I find out exactly what the hell this document is. I'm kind of confused on it. And like you said, allegedly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, allegedly.
Yeah.
It's all, you have
you
to
know,
be,
he might have had a whole lot of parties. You know, he might have had a lot of parties where he invited a lot of people and certain men knew what was going on, and they indulge themselves and other men look the other way. I don't know. This is something that is going to come out.
Yep, it's terrible.
Yeah, and next thing that happened really is yachting. I don't know if anybody know what that is, where young women who, you know, some are younger and not of age, and some are of age, or just 21 and over, they're trying to build a Hollywood career or a career on Wall Street or whatever career. They want to be out there and be seen with these rich men. And so yachting is when, like, the skimpily dressed,
Just trying to climb the ladder.
Yeah, basically. So, you know, allegedly, these women would do favors for these men of a sexual nature, whether give them a honey or a blowy or, you know, go all the way. And they get paid big bucks, allegedly. You know, so this is a culture that's there out there in 1% land where very, you know, affluent men and rich people, some of them generations wealth, you know, they'll say, hey, you know, a woman is a commodity. You know, she's like a trophy. So, you know, I can pick, choose, refuse, you know, or, you know, use you, give you $100,000, bye, on to the next one. This is how they operate. This is how they think, you know, because say, hey, I have enough money. I could buy the best lawyers and everything if push comes shove. You know, nobody, I'm untouchable. And that's what the whole thing with Donald Trump and men of his ilk think. And Epstein, before he, quote-unquote, suicided himself, you know, he had secrets for all these men. You know,
oh,
so
sure
even though Senator Huston made that point, and Elaine so eloquently made the point as well, I'm kind of glad it came out. I don't care how it came out, but I'm glad it came out. Whether you're Democrat, Republican, whoever, if you have sex with underage girls, you should pay and suffer consequences. Because that's not right.
Amen.
You know?
Yeah, that's right.
Amen.
Absolutely. It's rape. No man.
Yeah, I did promise to come back to that Steve Bannon thing about Nikki Haley being Trump's possible running mate. But a big shout out to Taylor Swift. After her shows in Santa Clara, California, Taylor Swift made a donation to the local food bank. The amount of money wasn't disclosed, but it was enough to feed 500,000 people per month for an entire year. So, you know, do you think, Taylor Swift? Well done. Thank you so much. And Alec Phillips, she's running for office in district in Tennessee, in Clarksville, Tennessee. We'll come to her in a moment. But first, I want to play this clip. Steve Bannon talking about Nikki Haley being the possible running mate for Donald Trump. And here it is.
Okay.
One of the fights we're going to have, a big fight, will take place in the spring, will be they're going to try to force Nikki on the ticket. They say Trump needs a woman, Nikki on the ticket. She balances things. If Nikki Haley is in this administration in any capacity, it will fail.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess Steve Bannon is against Nikki Haley being on the ticket. So Carrie Lake, who's a joke, and even a bigger joke, Marjorie Taylor Greene, being, I mean, good Lord, you think Sarah Palin was bad?
Oh.
Sarah Palin looked like a Rhodes Scholar compared to the other woman in the
Sarah Palin was a Girl Scout compared to her. Marjorie Taylor Greene is appalling. She's just a vicious, hateful.
Well, you know, I wish the media would just knock it off about who his running mate is. He doesn't have to take Trump. If Trump ends up the person, he doesn't have to take the second one that comes in. We know that. Look how many people he interviewed when he and then he finally settled on Pence. He doesn't have to take the whoever wins the second place. So you know what? The press is pissing me off. Concentrate on what Joe Biden is doing. Concentrate on what the Republicans are doing to Joe Biden when it comes to this border issue. Concentrate where you're supposed to concentrate. Who in the hell cares who he is? Seriously.
Okay,
who
we'll have 25 minutes left. Well, 25 minutes left. 515-605-9802 is the number to call. Say your first name and where you're calling from. Atlanta, Georgia. Good night. What's cooking?
Yeah, this is Nas. What's going on?
Nas, welcome.
Hi, Nas.
Yeah, we're talking about the whole Epstein thing and the Republican primaries and the school shooting in Iowa. You know, what's your perspective on those things?
I mean, the Epstein thing, like, it's just become this ridiculous thing to where no matter what names are attached, people are going to assume the worst.
Mm-hmm.
So the people who invested with him and just made money off him and didn't know him in any other way are going to be tied into the people who've done some of the worst crimes that humans can ever commit. So, you know, it's just a cluster. Like, you really can't separate any of it. So it's going to lead to people making, you know, accusations about people, and it's just going to be terrible. It's like the worst of the internet come to life. The school shooting, I mean, that's just more of the same, and we're going to continue to have more of the same. You have so many alienated people who are angry and really aggressive and want to take it out on other people. We're going to see situations like this if we don't ever address the issue. So, you know, rest in peace to those, you know, who are affected by this today. But, yeah, this is going to be something that I think we're kind of now getting used to when you think about the children with the bulletproof backpacks. And, you know, doing the constant drills about school shootings. So this is something that has become the norm. The Republican thing is really not that interesting to me because, like you guys said, he's not necessarily going to take one of those people on if he was to you know, even be in the race to win or anything like that. And at this point, we've got to actually criticize our media and say our media knows they can make money by making everything a horse race. And because of that, that's why you get the covers that you get. So when somebody makes an accusation of Biden that is ridiculous, they cover it as if it has merit and say, well, what do you think of this? And then that draws traffic, gets the ad revenue, so they're going to continue to do that. When in reality, we can have an honest critique of Biden from the left, which most liberals don't like, but an honest critique of Biden from the left, and that would actually push him to do things that would honestly be more of what the Democratic Party is supposed to be, you know, post-1960. So, you know, it's really playing a con game when you play into it. And we do this, you know, well, what about his son? And what about this? You know, we play into this right-wing nonsense. But,
tiring.
Exactly. You know, what Russia and China were blamed for meddling in American politics in 2016, especially Russia, with the Steele dossier and everything. Do you think, you know, that the closer ranks know that's not going to be possible anymore, you know, because we're close to losing the democracy?
Really close.
Not only is it possible, but it's going to happen. Honestly, this is like when that coach was yelling about it. It's the Big 12, big boy football. This is kind of big world geopolitics. We are going to try to infiltrate their internet systems. They're going to try to do the same to us. It's going to be sabotage. There's going to be spying and all those things. Those things are going to happen. But us opening the doggy door, which is what I would call Citizens United, where basically any you know, nefarious group who scrapes together some change, you know, they can affect U.S. politics. That's a self-inflicted wound. That's something that we need to open. So, did you guys see the hotel receipts today just for the different nations that decided, hey, if I rent out a floor or a suite at the Trump Hotel, I'll be able to get the ear from the president and get something, you know, preferable that I want. This man grifted from day one. So, you know, the emolument clause was just ignored. So.
Appalling.
I think Donald Trump should be made an example of by putting him on trial, finding him guilty, and he spends a long time in prison. Go ahead, Lori.
That's what I was going to say. Basically the same thing. We have been playing this over and over and over again for years. And as I was saying earlier, it's appeal after appeal after appeal till it gets to the Supreme Court. You know, it's ridiculous. And they are, you know, his Trump's team of lawyers, that's the only thing that they know how to do is appeal and cause, you know, problems, of course, you know, and it backs everything up. And our legal system is, to me, it's ridiculous. I mean, we all know what this man did. How much evidence do we need, for God's sake? How much? It's exhausting.
And that missing file that has secret documents, does Russia have it?
Yeah.
You know, that should have been a major red flag where he was put in jail until the trial is over. 91 goddamn counts, and he's still running around the country. There's Nazi-type rallies, giving incendiary speeches and inflaming passions and what have you. He can't even put two, three sentences together. And he could hear the MAGAs like, yay, from day one, I'll be a dictator. Yay. I love a poorly ignorant or poorly educated. Yay. That's him insulting them and they're cheering for him. It's so disgusting and disheartening.
Yeah.
And this is why we need public education to be stronger.
Well, this is why they want to burn books, David. For that reason, for the poor, you know.
Yeah, forget banning books. So I'll burn the books now. You know,
what I'm
why would you want to ban? Why would you want to ban Toni Morrison's books or Maya Angelou or whomever? You know, reading a book expands the mind. To Kill a Mockingbird. Why would you want to ban To Kill a Mockingbird? It's silly.
I don't know.
You know.
I've never.
The whitewashing history in these history books in Texas, for example, when you read a history book, the slaves came over as guests. No. They're enslaved on ships, and those who couldn't stand the long journey jump, overboard and kill themselves or they died of diseases. You know, look what they did to the Native Americans, the Trail of Broken Tears, where Andrew Jackson murdered and slaughtered them, you know? And he's referred as some sort of hero. A racist son of a bitch like Andrew Jackson, seventh president. You know?
Yeah.
This country is ridiculous when it comes on to history. You know, especially African Americans look what African Americans went through. Go ahead, Naz.
No, I'm just going to say, we have two competing stories and to decide what narrative America is going to be about. Are we going to be about mythology, where we tell this manifest destiny story of conquering and overcoming other people and whitewash the genocide and the things that happened? Or are we going to tell the American story as it actually is, with the idea of what? Always aspiring to be better, always aspiring to get that more perfect union, so to say. The idea of, there's a poet, what's his name, Saul Williams. He had this line where he said, the greatest Americans haven't been born yet. Now, if you take that concept, you have something that you can go forward with in the future, because you can say these things that happened were terrible and we can improve on those things and make amends for what was done. But if you want to live in mythology and you just want to say this is the only way we're going to roll, then guess what? The rest of the world is going to pass you by as you have your racial concentration that you have to fight over, while these other countries don't have that. They don't have that problem. So good going, against China in 2050 while you're still fighting over things from the 1850s because you refuse to actually acknowledge what was done.
Yeah, it's just the group that are in there right now in Congress, in the House, are grifters, they're losers, they don't mean well, they don't want to do well for America, they just want to do well for themselves. They are not for democracy, they're for themselves. They're not for the American people, they're for themselves. That is it. And if people don't understand what they're about by now, I don't know, what is it going to take? What is it going to take? I mean, we have that Project 2025 that's out there. They're talking about it every day. If someone would take the time to at least listen, read a little bit of it, you would say, oh, my God, I have to vote blue because I am not going to go into a dictatorship. No one is going to tell me when I can and can't not take my garbage out. You follow what I'm saying? It's just ridiculous. And this is where we're headed. And people are just going along, just, I don't know, are their heads in bubbles? Where are they? Or is it that I'm so obsessed and not scared, but worried about the future for this country, for the younger generation, generations that I think about that. But other people don't seem to think about it as much, maybe, or they're not worried about it, or they just, whatever's going to happen is going to happen. And I can't be like that. It's just, I don't know.
Yeah, it's stressful, stressful. Okay, this last 14 minutes, we're going to decide to talk about this dynamic candidate running in Tennessee.
Yeah.
There are a lot of women running. There's this this lady in Macomb County running for prosecutor. And, you know, Macomb County, Michigan, never had a female prosecutor before. But there's this other one, Ellie Phillips. She's running in a district where she was denied life-saving abortion. It's in Clarksville, Tennessee. She had a traumatic abortion experience earlier this year. And she's now running, you know, because, you know, she was against Roe versus Wade being taken out by the Supreme Court. And, you know, quote, I say, I get tired of seeing articles after article of women in Texas, women in Tennessee, women in Florida, and women in Idaho. Ms. Phillips, 28, tells The Independent, quote, just state after state after state, all these continuous travesties, these devastating stories. And in March, Ms. Phillips was the one making headlines after she documented on social media her 1,000-mile trip to Clarksville, Tennessee, to New York to get a life-saving abortion because it wasn't legal in her home state. So 8 months later, Ms. Phillips announced her candidacy for Tennessee House of Representatives. Ms. Phillips is among the first wave of women directly impacted by the 2022 Supreme Court decision for running for office. The fall of Roe versus Wade has energized voters across the country, with abortion rights becoming a focal point in the outcome. So as you saw in Kentucky and Ohio in the off-year election, abortion rights won big. And those are two red states. Some are two red states. There is a union. So, you know, I think women are fired up and ready to go. And across the board, women of all ages saying, no, this is my body. It's my choice. You're not going to touch a government. Get out of my uterus, Republicans. You know, even Republican women I know who hate the life out of Donald Trump said they'll never, ever vote Republican again because of this Roe versus Wade travesty. So good luck to Ms. Phillips on her journey to become House of Representatives in Tennessee. She's in Clarksville, and I hope she wins. Lori?
Yeah, I'm here.
No, no, what do you have to say about it? I'm asking.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, I just want to read this because this tells a lot. Ms. Phillips, interview with The Independent, she says that her local representative, Republican Jeff Burkhart, admitted to her during a meeting in June that he thought, and I quote, only first pregnancies could go bad. He then went on to say, according to Ms. Phillips, that he'd hypothetically advised his own daughter to continue a pregnancy even if it put her life at risk. Really? What kind of people, what, these men, I'm sorry, what is it about them that they think that they can tell a woman what she can and cannot do? Her life was in danger, just like that poor lady in Texas, the 32-year-old. They had to leave the state, had to leave the state because she needed an emergency abortion as well. What is it about these people that they don't understand that a woman's life is precious? And then if that baby is born and the mother is dead, is that man going to take care of that child? I don't think so. Highly doubt it.
They're going off the Bible. You know what the Bible says.
They go off whatever they want. They're full of shit.
Nothing
that makes me mad.
Yes,
nothing that makes me more angry than that. Nothing. Not much.
Yes, Mimi. We have limited time, so we'll wrap up now and everything. Naz, do you think that Democrats will win big in 2024 across the board, whether state level, local level, and federal level? What's your take on that?
Yeah, I think we could see that happen. The only thing that actually puts that in jeopardy to me is the situation in Israel. That has really affected young people. That has really affected Muslim Americans. And that is a demographic that Biden and the Democrats are really dependent on. So if you get a situation where some of those people stay home, that changes the whole calculus of everything. So at a certain point, they're going to have to figure out some sound strategy that not only gets the voters back in tow, but something that people can actually agree with. And going to your previous point, just thinking about this abortion issue, who is it going to affect? Women in rural areas and women in urban areas, meaning the people who are, you know, working poor and below. Those are the people who aren't going to have access to care. Those are the people who are going to, you know, have these terrible outcomes on the, you know, as far as our maternity rate. So, you know, just looking at this logically, you're like, okay, I understand the Republicans have run on this for decades. The problem became the dog caught the car and found out, hey, most people don't agree with you on this stuff, and you better stop it because they're going to run you out of office if you keep trying to run on it. So, yeah, I thought it was amazing to watch Republicans be shocked when they found out typically Americans don't agree with them on their abortion policy.
But I don't, you know, Nash, I don't know if they understand that yet. I don't know if it's sunk in. You know, I really, I don't know if it has, because I haven't really heard, you know, them say, I mean, I heard Trump say that a woman should be punished if she has an abortion, some kind of punishment. Really?
Yeah, and then there's other causes to this, too, other effects to this, too. So any of these states where they say, well, throw the decision back to the states, well, guess what happens if you throw that decision back to the states? You get a brain drain in your state. The women who would have went to state colleges and private universities in your state and would have a career and stay there, well, guess what? Now you just educated them to high school, and then they move to another state where they pay taxes and consume and do everything else a citizen does, and your state doesn't benefit. And then you get more closing hospitals to where people have to drive further and further for care. And what type of life standard, living standard are you talking about for the people left behind? So, you know, ultimately, it's just a losing proposition as an idea.
Sure is.
Yeah, Elaine, so, yeah, what's your take on it, really, about this whole Roe versus Wade?
I think that a lot of the women are just keeping their mouths shut. They don't, you know, you don't really know. A lot of the women don't really know what their man thinks, or they do know what their man thinks. So they're just going to keep their mouth shut, and they're going to go to the privacy of their voting booth, and they're going to vote. They're going to vote for their own body. There's a lot of women, you know, they've got a marriage they're invested in, and they'll just vote for their own body. They're not going to worry about it when they get in that voting booth.
I agree.
So.
Yeah.
And I think the other voters that are going to come out is going to be the people that are sick and tired of the guns. I think it's going to be the other way around. The gun nuts are going to be facing the people that have said, okay, fine. There's nothing wrong with a hunting rifle, but this is out of control.
It is out of control.
The issue is out of control. The same thing with immigration. It's out of control. And until the Republicans sit down and start working with everybody, they're out of control. And I think that there's a lot of issues they're going to lose on.
I hope
so. A lot of issues, including immigration, especially this last fiasco and this last dog and pony show.
Oh, I know. That was ridiculous.
You have a border.
I know.
Down there at Juarez.
Yeah.
It's like a semi-open border. You have people just like with Canada. They come across that border every day. They want to live in Mexico. They don't want to live in the United States. But they want to work in the United States, and they're working in the United States. You also have people that go across to Mexico and for whatever reason are working in Mexico. And they don't want to live in Mexico. They want to live in the United States. You have areas in that border that's open. And there's you can put all the fences you want. It's still going to be open. We have had an immigration problem for as long as I can remember.
And
it's
no one wants
time.
To use it.
It's time. I don't know what the answers are. I'm not sitting there. But it's time for them to get off their asses and sit down and do something about it.
Yeah, I agree. 100%.
My take.
Cheap labor.
Oh, go ahead.
Cheap labor, America's oldest addiction. We play this game to where we say, oh, you got to round those people up or stop them or do whatever. When the actual answer would always be, if you made it to where somebody would lose their business license for hiring somebody who didn't have correct paperwork, then you would take away the incentive for any of it to happen. But they don't do that because, of course, they always operate from the bottom up, not the top down. So what? It's going to continue. Then you get into the birth replacement rate here, where we have an aging population that is not replacing themselves very well. You're going to need immigrants to come in, pay taxes, work the lowest part of the economic ladder as far as jobs, and, you know, keep the country rolling. So that's the part that most Americans aren't comfortable dealing with, because that's a reality. Steve Jobs, his father, was Syrian. What did they do? They came over, immigrated illegally. And then the next generation, you get the boom from Steve Jobs. That's a net gain for the country. So, you know, this thing with immigration where the Republicans have turned this into their, you know, their great vote mover. Remember the caravans that they told us about in midterms that were coming to steal babies and eat our lunch and all of that sort of stuff? It's just more fear and ignorance being pumped into the populace. But ultimately, yes, you're going to need an influx of immigrants going forward because every country will need them. But the other part is you can do it in a way that made sense if you really wanted to wrap on the hands the people who are most responsible for this, which would be the people who pay them.
Yes, yes. That has to be the final word. We thank Naz in Atlanta, Georgia, for calling in, and we thank Elaine from Michigan, and we thank you for listening. Remember, you can find us on Facebook. We're Kitchen Politics 123. And just type in Kitchen Politics 123 in Facebook, and you see the group, and you see the community page. And also visit kitchenpolitics123.com. We'll have great merchandise coming up for sale in the near future. We'll have cooking recipes on the website. We'll have blog articles and more blog articles coming. We'll hope to have guest bloggers come in and, you know, put on articles as well. And we thank you for the interest. And, you know, as we grow strong in 2024, let's unite. And let's make sure Democrats on all levels, progressive on all levels, whether it is state level, local level, federal level, let's get those progressives in, because Republicans are not the answer. They're corrupt. They're inept. They're out of their league. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know how to run an economy. And I want Donald Trump to be the head of their party. We've seen what he's done in 4 years, and he is bad for America. So, same time, same place, Sunday coming up. We're on Sunday, Monday, and Thursdays, 9:30 p.m. Eastern and 7:30 p.m. Mountain Time. This has been Kitchen Politics 123 for Thursday, January 4th, 2024. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico. Good night, Laurie.
Good night, David, and thank you, everyone, and we'll see everyone on Sunday. Have a good evening. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good night, America. We'll see you Sunday. Same time, same place, 9:30 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Good night, all.